But David doesn't need an introduction. We all know him. We all love him. Half of us are related to him. But I do ask that you give him your prayers of tonight and your smiles as he gives us the message that the Lord has placed upon his heart. Brother David.
Thank you, Bob. I've been visiting with the Jehovah's about angels, whether they exist and stuff. And I can't really do that fairly because if you've been in contact with an angel, how do you deny it? So, I carry a testimony of my own, and I believe. Not in only angels of the Holy Spirit, but also angels of the spirit of Satan, who is the opposition. We have both. But I don't want to speak about that this evening so much. I want to speak about some observations that I've made. One big one was yesterday, and I thought it was very entertaining. And the other one is over the last few months. And what it involves is something that not everybody can associate with, but I do because I used to be a farmer, a rancher, and I like to observe what the farmers and ranchers are doing. And I saw something yesterday I hadn't seen before. Kathy and I drove up over the mesa, and we took the back routes. Went up the old Grand Mesa Road, and then we went on over past Eagleston and down into Colburn. I hadn't been that way in a few years. There have been some changes up there. But there was a lot of cattle up on top, and they were all coming down. There was one guy pulling a big trailer, and he was in front of us, and he pulled off and stopped, so we went on by him, but there were several hundred, probably, cattle just going down the road. And that wasn't too surprising, but as we covered the miles, we kept going through groups of cattle. And they were all sizes and ages, but they were all trotting, moving down the hill fast. And I'd never seen them do that before because they didn't have a cowboy, they didn't have a dog, there was nothing. It was just the cattle going down the middle of the road. And I thought, well, this is strange. I've never seen cattle do this before. Just on their own, all heading downhill. And so many of them. And then we hit snow. It started snowing on us. We hit sleet. Then it hailed on us a little bit. And then it kind of let up, and I said, I wonder where they're all going. Where are these cattle going? And they acted like they knew where they were going, and they wanted to get there. And they were trotting just fast enough that the little ones could keep up with them. And so here you got these cattle, all of them, making pretty good time trotting down the road. Sometimes they'd be six abreast. And we'd have to come up and wait until they'd part for us a little bit so we could get through and go on down the road. But they never stopped. They kept trotting. And I thought, they have a goal. These cattle have a goal. And I wonder where they're going. And we kept watching for open gates or ranches where these cattle would turn in, and we got ahead of all of them and never did see any open area where they could go. It was all fenced in. And so we got down into Colburn. We went on up to my mother's place and checked it out. And then we came back into Colburn to get something to eat. And it was raining on us by then. Same storm that went through here. It was raining pretty good. It was raining good enough we never even got out of the vehicle when we got up to my mother's place. And we got back to Colburn, and there was several inches of water just running down the streets. And we went into a cafe there. And I asked Kathy, I wonder if the cattle are going to show up down here on Main Street in Colburn. Because we don't have any idea where they could have been going. And they didn't show up while we were there. But they had a definite goal. And it really got my mind to working to see all these cattle, all ages, all sizes, going in a common direction and trying to get there fast. And whether they were trying to run out of the storm or what it was, don't know. But it got to working on my mind where I was thinking about what the Lord told us in the scriptures. And I want to read a little bit in Isaiah 49. And I'm going to read verses 8 through 13. Isaiah 49, 8 through 13 says, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolation heritages. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them. Even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth. And break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted." You know, he tells us that he's going to draw everybody together, all nations. They'll all have a common goal. They'll be all ages, just like these cattle. They will go, and they won't hesitate. The people will go and come to where the Lord has directed them. And he even says that through his mountains he'll have highways. So you won't get lost, and you won't thirst, you won't hunger. Everything will be provided, including the way to go. And I'm going to back up into chapter 48 and read 12 through 18. And this is who he's talking to here. He says, "Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I also am the last. Mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand hath spanned the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. All ye, assemble yourselves and hear. Which among them hath declared these things? The Lord hath loved him. He will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on the Chaldeans. I, even I, have spoken. Yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments! Then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. If Israel had listened to the Lord and obeyed him and not rebelled, he says your peace would have been as a river. Peace is a river. That's a phrase that I can remember from way back when I was a child. Peace is a river. And I think that was part of a song that I'd heard years ago, that there would be peace as a river. You know, when the Lord talked to the multitudes, remember when he sat by the shore and the people lined the banks of the shore, and he could speak to them from a ship? Because it was peaceful. There wasn't noise. His voice carried. And he could preach unto all these people, these multitudes of people, because they had peace by the sea. That peace is something that we seek after. There's only one way to find that peace, and that's not in a river. It's not by the seashore. It's by listening to the Spirit of the Holy One. When we think of shelter, we think that the Lord provides us with shelter. Well, he does. He says everything you need will be provided for you. And I was watching, once again, my neighbor and his little calves. And when it got real hot this summer, he put some little calves out in the middle of nowhere in a little pen. They had to stand out in that heat all day, every day. And I felt so sorry for them. They didn't look like they felt that good. And he put up a pallet in one corner, just laid it on the fence. And he had like four calves in there. There was room for one to get in the shade. But all the rest of them wanted in the shade too, so they all kind of gathered up in that corner to get as close as they could to that shade. When we think about the shelter that the Lord provides for us, sometimes we might feel it's a little small, but it's what he has provided. And so we try to get closer so that we can share with everybody that comfort that we find in what the Lord provides. And hopefully it's not too small. Because when we share things, it gives us comfort. It gives us our shelter, our salvation. I'm going to go over to Matthew and read in chapter 11. Well, Kathy and I made this little journey yesterday. We listened to John Gill, his sermon, because we weren't here for that. We really enjoyed it. We enjoyed his little comments that he makes and the fact that he isn't perfect and he isn't a person who can do everything correctly. But he enjoys what he does. When he's speaking the word of the Lord, he likes to put a little twist on it and see if you're going to catch him on it. He likes to be funny, be entertaining about it. And then he'll tell you later, "Oh, that was, I twisted that a little." And it does, keeps you interested, keeps you thinking about it. In Matthew 11, I want to read some here. 28 through 30. These are the words of Christ. And he said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." As many times as I read that, it always means something to me every time I read it. Because our burdens don't seem to be very light. And they change. Our burdens change. They're not always the same burden. But when we take it to him and we do as he does and be meek and lowly, when we have a sincere heart, it makes the burden light. That, by the way, I made a note in here, was Jim Shaw's favorite verse. And I can see why. I really don't pick out a verse and say it's my favorite in all the scriptures, but there are a lot of good ones that are worth memorizing and applying every day of your life to make your burdens lighter, to make things go a little easier. Now, the Lord told us to take up our yoke because his yoke isn't that heavy to bear. Especially if we depend on him to help us. And he told us to share what we have, to share our talents, to share the things that we know to be the truth, that are commandments that came from God and from his Son. And that's why we have the books that are consolidated here in what we call the Holy Bible, to remind us, just like this morning when we took of the sacrament, to remind us of the things that we have, of the promises that are given to us, as long as we do as we are expected to do. And we go out and we spread the word into all the world, like he said, but we just don't do it for one people. We do it for the young, for the old, for those of different colors. Not the ones that are exactly like us. Even Christ said, "I did not come here to save the saved. I came here to save those that are sick." those that are in the dark, those were the ones that he came to work with. And he doesn't expect us to do anything less. And that was hard for his disciples to understand. I want to go over to Matthew 11. Go over to 12, Matthew 12, verse 46 through 50. And this, all these scriptures should be very familiar to you. Matthew 12, verse 46. Now it's talking about Christ. It says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. You know, we have people out there that are trying their best to do the will of their Heavenly Father. And they may not have the knowledge of knowing what is the will of the Heavenly Father and what is not. But they have their conscience to guide them. And hopefully, for those that are searching, we find them. And we can talk to them, we can teach them, we can set the example for them. And when they believe, that they are our brethren. That is what Christ is telling us here. Those that do the will of my Father are my mother, my brother, my sister. They're my family. Because they do the will of our Heavenly Father. It's like in a herd of cattle. Different colors, different ages. But trying to set the same pace. Trying to come down that hill and go to whatever shelter they were heading for. Because they knew of a place where they could gather together and they'd be taken care of. Hopefully, we're not a whole lot different than that. If we know that we're going to be cared for, we set a pace, and we keep it. Paul called it running the race. Let's go over to Matthew 25. Now, Christ kept speaking to the disciples in parables. And he had just given the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins, the ones that didn't take the time to fill their lamps with oil. Chapter 25 of Matthew, I want to start with just verse 9. And this is when the foolish said to the wise, give us part of your oil. But the wise answered, saying, "Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves." We need to prepare ourselves, don't we? We can't expect other people to do everything for us. We have to do our part. We have to keep up the pace. When that common goal is achieved, is when you get your reward. But you have to prepare for that journey. That journey that each one of us is taking right now. And hopefully we can keep up the pace and endure. Now I'm going to go down to verses 31. And these are all the words of Christ. Verse 31, and I'm going to go right to the end of the chapter, in verse 46. "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." Now we know where we're going with this parable, don't we? "And he shall set the sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Notice that he said, "Unto my brethren, unto those that believe on me, they come in all forms. They can be rich, they can be poor, they can be young, they can be old, they can be black, they can be white. It doesn't matter. They're Christ's brethren if they're doing the will of the Father." Verse 41. "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee unhungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." So if we're going to keep up the pace, we have to decide, what kind of fruit are we going to produce? What kind of effort are we willing to put in? What kind of shelter are we going to seek? What if we just say, well, the Lord's a merciful God? He'll have mercy on us. He'll forgive me because I didn't use my talent or I misused my talent. So, if we haven't used our full potential, or as some, we didn't use any of our potential, we hid it, what is our shelter? To just depend on the mercy of the Lord? It's not what it says here, is it? It says, for as much as you did it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. So we have to be careful. You know, as those cattle travel down that road, any other cow that comes in with them, they accept it. Come with us. Let's go. We got to keep going. We got to keep up the pace. Let's go together. Isn't that the way the Lord wants us to be? Keeping the pace, but inviting everyone to come. Using our talents, using our skills, using the things, the gifts that God gives to us. That's what is important. Are there any angels? Well, a lot of people say, well, yeah, for the purpose of God before the time of Christ. Sure, there were angels then. Are there still angels? Are there still those that are willing to help us keep the pace, to find our shelter, to provide the needs of each one of us? I want to close with using the second chapter of Luke. Try and put yourself in the place of these shepherds. Verse 8 through 20 of the second chapter of Luke. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them. You'd have a hard time convincing those shepherds that they hadn't seen an angel. You'd have a hard time convincing me that I haven't. And that's why we keep our hope. We don't put limits on God, because He can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, and use whoever He wants. And so we keep the pace. We stay on the highway that is provided, using our talents, our gifts, and caring for each other as we go, and caring for all those who wish to join in. You know, Mother Nature has a way of teaching us things that people can't teach us. When you grow up on an isolated farm or ranch, you learn to live with nature. You learn to let nature teach you the lessons of life. You depend on God and on your brethren. It isn't any different today. And when those angels come and appear before us, give us a message, we're not going to quit. We're going to keep on trotting. We're going to keep on down that road of life and going where they tell us to go and looking for that shelter. And then glorifying on the gifts that are given to us. I thank you for your time this evening. It was just something that came into my mind and I couldn't get rid of it. And so I praise the Lord. Praise the way that He teaches us in a way that we can understand. And I hope that He's with each one of us, and that we don't necessarily need to be seeing or talking to angels, because we have the Holy Ghost. We have the Lord beside us all the time. We just need to acknowledge Him and to give thanks for the things that He gives to us. Thank you.